I hope y'all will all come to that movie on Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a great time to gather as a church family with our families and have fellowship dinner. And the movie is an excellent movie. So I hope you'll come. Also, if you'll check your fold, if you got one, we have a lot of opportunities, and hope you'll come. Opportunities for growth and fellowship and encouragement, and come be a part of some things. Tomorrow at lunch is our monthly women's fellowship lunch. Tomorrow night is our women's ministry kickoff, the time that we have the kind of talk about what we're doing in women's ministry for the next year. There's lots of opportunities for men. And on Wednesday night, there's something for everyone. There's the choir, the children's choir, Awana, a youth, something for everyone. So check out your bulletin and come and join us. As you've heard, today is what we call Celebrate Recovery Sunday. I'm Jeanette Maxwell. If you're new to here, I'm Jeanette Maxwell, and I'm the CR leader. And I so appreciate the opportunity today to just share our vision for what Celebrate Recovery is. Our friend Dave Bohlenbacher used to often remind us that we are not called to that which is easy, but that which is worthy. And that is certainly true of Celebrate Recovery. It has not always been easy, but it has been worthy. There have been a lot of ups and downs. We've come together, and we've seen people come to Christ and salvation in Christ, and we have really celebrated that. And we have seen people over the course of months see their lives really change, and we have just rejoiced in that. And we've also seen people struggle and stumble and fall and struggle, and we've hurt as that has happened. And there have been times we have seen people just walk away and turn away and go back into old destructive lifestyles. And we have mourned over that. But it's been a great time. Our hearts, those of us who have been involved, our hearts have been knit together. We've had connections they've been very, very special. And we've learned a lot in these 4 years. The goal of Celebrate Recovery is to help people become free and whole. The goal is not just to be free from a lot of things, not to just be free from depression, free from addiction, free from immoral lifestyle, free from bad relationships or fears, fear of rejection or low self-esteem. All of those things, that's just being free from those things is part of the process. The goal is to be free to be everything that God created us to be and redeemed us to be. Jesus has great plans for us. He has great plans for each one of us. We're created to be wonderful expressions of God. We're created to show forth God's glory, His power, and His grace. At Celebrate Recovery, as the leaders have met in the past few weeks, you know, we have ups and downs and always praying and considering, how can this be better? How can we reach more people? And we've discussed some changes to make. And one was, we've discussed changing the name and not being Celebrate Recovery, but being another form of freedom ministry. Because it just seems that Celebrate Recovery sometimes gets kind of a low vision from people, like a not fully free, like a recovering alcoholic or a recovering shoplifter. Better, but still struggling. So I looked up the words, Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate means to show happiness that something good or special has happened. I like that. If you don't know me, some of you know me, I see smiles. If you don't know me, I'm a celebrating kind of person. I like to celebrate. I like to show happiness and be part of a party. So I like that. So celebrate part's good. And then recovery. I looked up the word recovery, and it means to get back something previously lost, the return of something to a normal or improved state after a setback or loss. So I thought that's perfect. So Celebrate Recovery means we come together to rejoice and celebrate and to show happiness for something that is good. And that something good is that we have been restored to the original intention after we have lost something. Becoming what God created and intended us to be. We see God's original intention in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then, if you want to turn there, you can. I think the verses will be, yep, right up there. Perfect. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and on every living thing that moves on the earth. That's the way we started. That's the way humanity started. God created us to be like God in his image, looking like him, expressing his character, and spreading the rule of God over all of the earth, living in perfect relationship with God and with each other. That's the ideal that we began with, but we all know that didn't last. Man turned away from God and lost that original condition. And that's how we got started. That's where we come in. We were born sinners, fallen, separated from God, and not able to live the life that God wanted for us. But sometime along the way, many of us turned to God, and we believed in him, and understood we were sinners and needed a Savior, and we gave our life to Jesus. And that is wonderful news. We had a new birth that gave us life inside, and then we had the ability and the possibility to live the life that God intended for us. But most of us didn't reach that life. We read that Jesus said he came to give us an abundant life, a life full of joy and peace and fulfillment and purpose. But mostly we were frustrated, often defeated, possibly angry, maybe depressed, harboring unforgiveness and bitterness, and sometimes even stuck in terrible, sinful, or destructive practices. Maybe, you know, along the way we could find some help and to stop the sinful, destructive practices. And maybe if we worked hard enough, we would quit losing our temper and we would start having a better attitude. And when you get to that point, you're living a nice life with good habits, get along with people, and you're a little better off. And that's not bad, but that's not good enough. That's not the goal that God has for us. We don't want to be free from a bunch of junk. Again, we want to be free to experience everything God has for us, free to be all that he created us to be. So what does that look like? What does the Christian life really look like? And we see it described. I'm just going to read a few verses, a few passages, they'll be on the screen, that describe what the Christian life is to be like. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Colossians 3:12-15. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Philippians 4:11-13. Paul says, I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And finally, 1 Peter 1:8. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Do these verses that I just read describe the life that you live? I hope they do. I hope you can tell me that most of the time you live your life like this. I just don't think that's true for most people. I visit with a lot of people, mostly Christians, and many of them who really love the Lord and are trying to live a good life. But most are not living the life that they would describe as abundant, rich, full, happy, peaceful, content, with sweet, harmonious relationships. Imagine that kind of life. Imagine life fully free and fully whole. A life filled with joy every day, no matter what the circumstances are, even when you're facing hard times. Imagine a life of peace. No worry, no anxiety, just peace. Imagine being content no matter what your situation is, even when things are really hard, that you would be content. Imagine that your every response would be compassionate, loving, kind, that you would always forgive everyone. Imagine just loving everyone that you meet. Imagine having power when you pray and confidence when you come to God. Imagine having courage to share about Jesus everywhere you go. I don't believe that's a dream. It's not a dream. This is the life we were created and redeemed to live. And that's the goal of Celebrate Recovery. There's a song I really like, and with a chorus line that says, "Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance." I was thinking about that song a few weeks ago. I like that song, and I was thinking about it and thinking, the heart cry from the person who wrote that song is, "God, I want to dance. I want to dance. I hear your music, and I want to dance, but I've got shackles on my feet that are keeping me from dance. Take the shackles off so I can dance." The point's not to get the shackles off. Getting rid of the shackles is just the step that you need to be able to dance. Interesting. That kind of made me think about shackles. The interesting thing about shackles, you know, shackles are portable. Shackles are the chains that connect the feet, and you can walk, but you have to walk like that and keep your feet together. And sometimes, you know, shackles have chains on the arms, and they're, you know, attached. There's a little bit of freedom, but not very much freedom. But I was thinking, for some people, shackles are an improvement. If a person's in a maximum security prison and say they're in solitary confinement, you know, they're in a little bitty cell for 23 hours a day. 1 hour a day they get to come out and get a little exercise, but mostly they're in that cell. So say he had this person, this, we'll call him a man. This man has to go to court. So the guard comes to get him out of the jail cell, but he puts shackles on his feet. Well, he gets to go outside. He gets to breathe fresh air. He gets to see trees and gets to see scenery that he doesn't usually see. He gets to go into court. He gets to see people. He may even see family members there in court. That's really an improvement. And that man may think, wow, this freedom's really good. Because it's a little bit of freedom, and he can walk, but he can't run. That's the point of shackles. He can't run, and he can't dance. There's very limited movement. I just believe that many Christians are like those prisoners. They're out of prison. They're not in prison. And they enjoy that freedom. They're experiencing some freedom, but they're walking around in shackles, and they're not able to dance. So the vision of Celebrate Recovery is that we all need to be dancing. We want to remove the shackles so we can dance. When we hear God's music, we can dance to that music. For me, I want to love the Lord with absolute abandon. I want to follow Him without holding back anything. I want to live a life that is full, abundant, joyful, radical. I want to have a life full of whimsy and fun, and also productive and purposeful. That's what I want. That's what my life, I want my life to be. And I want that life, that kind of life for all of us. I want that life for my family and my friends. And for all of us, that's what, when I meet people, that's what my thought is. How can I be a part of helping this person get to that kind of life? I want to see us all free. And in order to live that kind of life, we've got to be free from every kind of shackle. Free from alcoholism, free from addiction, also free from depression and worry and fears and anxiety and phobias. Also free from legalism, free from boredom, free from passivity, free from humdrum life, freely living a life that is full of joyful abundance. So, we're redeemed, we're born again, the Holy Spirit's living in us. Why don't we live this way? Why do we look around and day to day, why aren't we living that kind of wonderful, joyful, abundant life? Well, a big part of it, maybe the whole story, is we're in a battle. We often don't realize it, but we are. Jesus said that he came to give us abundant life, but we got to read the rest of that verse. That's John 10:10. Jesus speaking, he says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you abundant life." Jesus' purpose is to give us abundant life, but there is an enemy out there, an enemy who is out to get us. There is an enemy of our souls who wants to ensnare us. Satan's first desire is to take as many humans to hell with him as possible. He wants to physically kill humans. He wants to steal their very soul and destroy them in every way. And we see this all around us. You watch the news, terrible atrocities of all kinds, violence inflicted all around. There's wars, genocide, murder, fighting, evil of all kinds. And that's all designed by this thief, this enemy. And then he wants to keep people from believing in Jesus as the Son of God and coming into a relationship with him. And we see the results of that all around. People who are blinded, pursuing wealth and power given to pleasures of the flesh, believing in ridiculous ideas and man-made religions. Satan entices man with every invention of the imagination. But some of us escape. And we praise God for that, that God reached out and he snatched us out of Satan's evil grasp. By God's mercy and grace, we have believed in him, and we've been born again, and we have the Spirit of God living in us. And I'm sure that greatly disappoints the enemy. Just as when somebody is saved, Jesus said the angels in heaven are celebrating, and I'm certain that the demons are grinding their teeth and they're mad when that happens. But we know that Satan doesn't leave us alone at that point. So his second purpose is to keep us from living the life that God meant for us to live. He wants to steal our peace with fear, worry, and anxiety. He wants to kill our joy with bitterness and hatred. He wants to destroy our purpose with addictions of all kinds, with sexual sin, and even with boredom and legalism and shame and passivity. Satan's at war with us, and we have to understand that. We have to fight the battle. Jesus has won the war. He is a defeated enemy, but we have that battle every day in our own lives that we have to fight. Peter spoke of this in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. He says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." So, no doubt, we have an enemy that is out to get us, and we are to fight for our lives. I believe that fight started at the very, very beginning, because listen to this. It's Genesis 1:28. We know this. It's at the point of creation. A first thing that God said to the man and the woman, he had just created them. This is the first thing he says. God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing." Whoops, I left out an important word. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Those words that God spoke, subdue and have dominion, those words indicate a battle. It wasn't going to be just easy. Those two Hebrew words, translated subdue is kabosh, which means to tread down, to conquer, to subjugate. And dominion is radah, which is tread down or to subjugate. So, when you read that, and I realize these words indicate a battle. But I don't know if Adam and Eve really understood this, because they weren't on guard. Adam and Eve lost the first battle. They weren't on guard, and they were deceived. We see that we continue Genesis 3. And one, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" That was not true. It's a deception. That's the way he ensnared Eve, and that's his weapon today. Satan came to Eve and lied to her. He twisted the words of God and caused her to doubt the character of God and the love of God. And this is the weapon he still uses. He still comes to us, and he lies to us. And usually we don't know it's Satan. Just like Eve, she didn't know that Satan was using that serpent to speak to her. And we don't know it's Satan. When we hear those words, the lies, we think it's just our own thoughts. Or it comes to us in words of a friend or a parent, a teacher, even a celebrity that we hear and get those words in our mind. And they're the lies of Satan. And the lies cause us to doubt God. To doubt his word, his character, and his love for us. There are a lot of lies Satan uses, and they're tailor-made for each individual. But they come from that same source, the same foundation is the same. They're very subtle, and usually there's a touch of truth in them to make them more believable. We think it's the truth because there's a little bit of truth in that lie. But the bases are the same. And when I was looking at these, I saw two things that are big lies that are foundation for all the other lies. And the first lie of Satan is God is not enough. God created the man and woman to be in fellowship with him. God was their source. He was their strength. He was their satisfaction. God was everything they needed at the beginning. But when Satan came to Eve, he suggested that God was not enough. Satan suggested that she could not trust God, that God had not told her the truth, that God was holding out on her, and there was something she needed besides God. He suggested she could make her own decisions if she just had the resources and go without God. Satan made her think that God was not enough and she needed more. The truth is that God is enough. God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." The psalmist said, "Fullness of joy is found in God's presence." God is enough. That covert lie that God is not enough is the root of many of our problems. If you think about it, it's a lie. God is not enough, so I need more money. God is not enough, I need a man, or I need a woman. God is not enough, I need a substance to make me more, to make me feel better. God's not enough to fill that deep longing. I've got to get something else. And that's the source of our problems. The second lie that he told Eve that we have today is, I am not enough. He told Eve, "Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The implication is that Eve, you're not enough as you are. You're not enough. You need to be more. You need to know more. And that's the lie behind many of our issues, the feeling that I'm not enough. I'm not enough, so I've got to work harder. I'm not enough. I need to be perfect. I'm not perfect enough. I'm not enough. I'm not really worthy of love. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I mean, you fill in the blank. Something that we deal with is that feeling of not enough. And that's the root of many of our problems, our emotional problems. The lie that I'm not enough. It's depressing to have the overwhelming feeling that you're not enough. Causes anger, that frustration feeling that I'm not enough, and there's an anger that comes along with it. Causes anxiety and fear and shame, condemnation, always dealing that I'm not enough. Because I'm not enough, I'm going to a party, I'm not enough, I better drink so that I can be enough at this party. I'm not enough to be loved, so I'm going to be immoral because that makes me feel like I'm enough. I'm not enough, I'm not skinny enough, and I've got to get skinnier, and that's the source of eating disorders. I'm not enough. That feeling that causes so many of our problems. Also, that feeling of not enough is the source of a lot of good behavior apart from God. You know, the fruit that Satan enticed Eve was not the tree of evil. You know that it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Satan often uses good things to draw us away from God. Sometimes good things like religion, like doing good works to earn love, like being legalistic, like holding on to doctrines above life and love. The good things that make us feel better about not being enough. I'm not enough. So if I follow these laws really, really well, that makes me feel like I can be enough. So I think that the lies that God is not enough and that you are not enough are at the root of so many of our problems. As believers, these lies are the source of the shackles around our legs that keep us from dancing. We hear Satan's lies early, from our early years. You know, we little children begin to hear those lies and begin to feel that I'm not enough, I'm not good enough. Then as we grow up, we develop behavior patterns and defense mechanisms and emotional default settings that are based on those lies. So, if believing lies is what causes us to not be completely free, then why don't we just stop believing the lies, get rid of the shackles, and dance? Well, we could, but most of us can't do it alone. We need help for the battle. Because we're in this battle, we need help. We're not meant to fight alone. Nobody goes into war by themselves. If they do, that's foolish. In Genesis 3, it seems that Eve went into battle alone, not realizing she needed help. In Genesis 3:6, it says that she ate it and also gave some to her husband who was with her. Adam was there. They were in it together, but they weren't fighting together. And I don't know what the dynamic was. I don't know if Adam just stood there and just watched the whole thing, or if he zoned out and just wasn't realizing what was going on. Or maybe Eve said, "It's okay, I've got this one. Don't worry about it." Whatever the dynamic was, the end result was she took on the battle by herself. That is not the way to fight the battle. We need a team. We need help. And this was part of the creation. You know, when God created man, he created all of creation. He created man, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Man was created to be in community. We're not supposed to be independent, self-made, self-reliant folks. That's hard for us Texans to accept. We want to be the Lone Ranger. We want to be the big, strong person out there fighting the battle all by ourselves. Even the Lone Ranger wasn't alone. We need a Tonto. We need someone to be with us. No one wants to go to war alone. Listen to the description. Really listen to these words. This is Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, do you want to do that alone? Do you want to go against that army alone? We don't want to enter that fight by ourselves. So that's why we have Celebrate Recovery. We come together and we help each other fight. You all know the Bible is full, especially the New Testament, of what I call the one another verses. There are 53 one another verses. We're told to love one another, serve one another, be devoted to one another, accept one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, confess to one another, even greet one another with a holy kiss. Jesus sent his disciples out in pairs. He never sent anyone alone. He sent them in pairs. The Apostle Paul never traveled alone. When he and Barnabas decided not to go together, he didn't go alone. He got Silas. He never went alone. We're not meant to do it on our own. In this spiritual battle, we need the strength to endure, to successfully resist the enemy. Fighting alone, we just endanger ourselves when we could and should be looking for ways to be stronger. Ecclesiastes 4 says that two are better than one. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. In our spiritual fight, we should not unnecessarily endanger ourselves. We can call in reinforcements. We have people to join together to fight that battle. And when we join together in the fight against our enemies, then we become automatically stronger and we're better able to resist and to defeat the enemies. We need each other. Celebrate Recovery is a safe place where we're able to face our struggles and overcome. A place where we help each other learn to recognize the lies of the enemy and to learn the truth. It's so great to have people around you that can say, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. What you're hearing is not the truth. And we need that. We need that. We can recognize the lies of the enemy and we can learn the truth and we can learn the basic truth and be reminded of the basic truth that God is enough, and that in relationship with Him, you are enough. You're not missing out on something. We can be real. We can come out. We can be who we are. And we don't have to hide, and we don't have to try to be something that we're not. Our gatherings on Thursday night look a lot like this morning did. We sing some great songs that help us just to open up and warm our hearts. Then we have some teaching about freedom. Often we use the 12 steps that have historically been so helpful to so many people. And they match up with 8 principles from the Beatitudes. And to give you just a better foundation of Celebrate Recovery, I want to show you those principles and go through them quickly. Because this is the foundation, and we work through these during the year. Principle 1, realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Principle 2, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Principle 3, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. 4, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. 5, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. 6, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. And 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. 8, yield myself to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. These are the principles that are foundational to Celebrate Recovery that we go through slowly, work through each one in detail, have lessons talk about what each one means. And we also, sometimes we share tools from other ministries that help us to gain freedom. Tools, we talk about things like soul ties or generational sins and iniquities, things that help us break free. That's during the large group time. After the large group time, we divide into small groups where each person has an opportunity. They don't have to, but each person has an opportunity to share what's going on in their lives. And these groups have specific guidelines that make them safe. No interrupting, no giving advice, and no sharing what's said outside of the group. We don't even talk about who comes to Celebrate Recovery. And I promise you, if you want to come, you can come to Celebrate Recovery this year, and next year you don't have to wear a Celebrate Recovery t-shirt and stand out there and greet. That's not required. It can be totally anonymous. CR is not weird, and it's not scary. It's very biblical, and it's helpful. So I invite you to join us. I invite you all to come and join us any Thursday evening. If you show up one Thursday, we don't put shackles on you and make you come back. We don't insist that you come back. Come one Thursday and just kind of check us out. We have child care, so you can bring your kids, and we'll be serving supper. So you show up early and eat supper, so there's no obstacles. You can come directly from work. So as we prepare to leave today, I just ask that you prayerfully consider your life. Are you living the abundant life that Jesus promised? A life filled with joy, and peace, and purpose, and healthy, fulfilling relationships? If not, then maybe you would consider checking out Celebrate Recovery. And if you don't need to be in Celebrate Recovery, or you don't have time, or there's not a desire to come, would you commit to praying for this ministry? As we're there fighting the battle, we need to know that we have support. We need to know that the body is praying for us. Out in the foyer, there's the CR banner, and there's a table with some sign-up sheets. And I just ask, if you would commit to praying for Celebrate Recovery, would you sign that just so that we would know that you guys are praying for us? Also, if you're interested in helping out, if this kind of strikes a chord and you think, you know, I'm living a great life, but I would like to help other people or help those helping other people. We could use some help. Help with meals, help with snacks, help with childcare, our sound system, our computer, lots of opportunities to help. Or just to be there to greet people with a big smile, because when people are coming in, if they're really struggling, having someone greeting them with a smile is a huge, huge help. There's a way you could help. If you would like to help in a practical way, there's a sign-up sheet for that. And if you sign that, it's not that I'm going to expect you to be there every week, and we won't expect you to make a commitment to come every week, but just that you'll come sometimes and help. And maybe we can call and say, we're short in an area. Would you mind coming and helping? So we're perfect. We're through. And we're going to show the video we showed at the very beginning. We're going to show that as we walk out. And as you walk out, there are going to be some people that you can speak with if you would like to. They'll be at the back. You don't have to come forward. They'll be at the back. Some of the same people that greeted you as you walked in will be standing at the back. If you would like prayer, if you want someone to pray with you, they're there. Or if you have any questions about Celebrate Recovery or about Freedom Ministry, they can answer your questions. So we're going to pray, and y'all are free to walk out. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I thank you that you have such high intentions for us. Lord, you created us to express you, to be your very image. You created us because you wanted to be expressed. Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you that because of the death of Jesus, Satan is a defeated foe. Lord, I thank you that you have arranged for us to walk in freedom. I thank you that who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Lord, you have a high goal for us. I just pray that we would more and more live that kind of life. Lord, would you take the shackles off? Lord, would you bring us into a life that is abundant and rich and full and filled with joy and peace, Lord? Lord, as we leave here today, would you just draw us to you? Lord, soften our hearts, Lord. And I pray for anybody here that needs help with the battle, Lord, that they would be stirred to come and join us at Celebrate Recovery. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you and we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
My name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat.